The issue of first fruits. So this morning, I want to talk to us on understanding the covenant of first fruit. Understanding the covenant of first fruit. As God's children, it's very, very important for us to walk in the place of understanding, because understanding is very key in our walk with God. Understanding is that which is under, upon which we stand. Understanding helps us to become outstanding in different aspects of life. And one of the reasons why a lot of people find it very difficult to walk in the fullness of God and to walk in total obedience to the will of God is because they lack understanding. It's not necessarily because they don't love God, it's just because they lack understanding. And that's why it's very, very important for us as ministers of the gospel to take time out to teach, give people clarity, give people understanding, so that they will do things from the point of conviction and understanding and not from the point of religion. And because a lot of people have not been accurately taught, a lot of people do not have clear understanding, and they do not walk in the fullness of the plan of God for their life. I got born again as a teenager, became a pastor at the age of 21, and for almost the first 10 years of my Christian life, I never heard any message on tithing or on first fruits. When I got into church, all I know is that when we get to church on Sunday, there comes a time when they start collecting offering. And they'll say, yeah, bring out your tithe and offering. And it's okay, bring out your tithe and offering. And sometimes it's okay, your tithe is the first 10%. So pastors and the leaders just ask for the offering. They ask for the tithe. But not many churches also take time to teach on the offering and teach on the tithe for people to have understanding. And now, I've been reading my Bible, but I could not articulate what it means to be a tither or to bring the first fruit into the house of God. But I kept doing it as a religious obligation, because I just wanted to obey all that we needed to obey to be a good Christian. It was not until later on that I realized that, look, I need to really understand this thing. And I went to do a study by myself on tithing. And that's when I had clear understanding. Now, when it comes to the issue of first fruits, I never had any teaching on first fruits, even until I became an overseer. I'm telling you, never had any teaching on first fruits. I never had anything. I used to think of first fruit and tithe is the same. I didn't understand that. And then in 1995, I went for a retreat as we were preparing to start the church that I still have the privilege to pastor right now. And when I went on this retreat, God spoke to me that as we are starting this church, our church started on the 31st of December, 1995. So it was the last day of the year. And God spoke to me, said, as you are starting this work, the year 1996 will be a year of new beginning and new things. And I want you to instruct the people and tell them that they should write down everything that they want me to do for them in 1996 and everything that I have spoken to them about in 1996 that I would do for them, and to put it together and to put in a release offering. That was the first time. I didn't know it was first fruit. He said they should put in a release offering, that the money that comes into their hand for that first month, they should add it to that prayer and bring it. So as a pastor, overseer, I didn't even understand it. And for the first 3 years, so 1996 we did it, 1997 we did it. It was not until 1998 that for the first time I got a pack of messages. And in one of the messages, I don't even know the name of the minister, he spoke about the first fruit offering. And I'm like, okay, first fruit offering. When I listened to that message, I said, oh, this is that release offering that we're doing. Oh, so they call it first fruit. That was the first time I decided to go study things for myself. So I'm very, very passionate about teaching, because many confusion that we have in the church today is just because people lack understanding. It's not because they don't love God. If they don't love God, they won't be in church. They love God. They want to please God. But because they don't understand and they are confused, the natural man will want to stay in the place of safety and comfort. But when there is clear understanding, then conviction propels our move with God. So when you look all through the Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. When we lack knowledge and understanding, we are not able to walk in the fullness of God. When the Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, the word destroyed there is not necessarily to be annihilated. The word destroyed there means to lack honor and dignity. So it means that when you are a child of God and you lack knowledge, in whatever area you lack knowledge in that area you will lack honor and dignity in that area. So when you lack knowledge of how to succeed in a marriage, you will lack honor and dignity in that marriage. When you lack understanding of how to succeed in your career, you will lack honor and dignity in that area. So it's very, very important for us to have a clear understanding. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 9, it says, the just through knowledge shall be delivered. The just through knowledge shall be delivered. So it brings knowledge for deliverance to come. Many times, a lot of people come into a place of deliverance and their understanding of deliverance is, oh, let me go, let them pray for me, let them lay hands on me, let them cast out the devil and I'll be delivered. But no, the Bible did not say deliverance comes through prayer. It says the just through knowledge shall be delivered. Why? You need to have a knowledge of the fact that you need deliverance. You need to have the knowledge of the fact that deliverance comes through Jesus. And you need to have the knowledge of how to retain your deliverance after you get it. But when you don't have knowledge, you'll find out that we can pray for you and set you free from that bondage, but you'll be back in the bondage again. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter 12, I want to believe, somewhere around the 40th verse all the way to 46th verse, it says, when an unclean spirit leaves a man, that unclean spirit goes around. And when it goes around and it does not find a dwelling place, the spirit will now say, I will return to my house. So the spirit considers the body of man his house. And the Bible says when that spirit returns and find the place swept clean and garnished. What does that mean? When you are delivered and there is the need for the enemy to return, when the enemy returns and finds you knowledgeable, when knowledge occupies the vacuum that the demon left, then your deliverance is complete. So you find a lot of people coming for deliverance over and over again on the same matter. Why? They are seeking prayer, they are not seeking knowledge. They are seeking prayer, they are not seeking understanding. So understanding is very, very important. The Bible in the book of Psalm 119, in different verses, you see the psalmist crying out for understanding. In Psalm 119 verse 34, the psalmist said, give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. Give me understanding and I shall keep that. What does that mean? If I don't have understanding, it will be difficult for me to keep your law. Give me understanding. I want to keep your law, but give me understanding that I may keep your law. In verse 73 of the same Psalm 119, the psalmist says, thy hands have made me, fashioned me, give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. So when I have understanding, I learn. When I learn, it becomes easy for me to obey. The psalmist in the same Psalm 119 and verse number 125, it says, I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. Give me understanding. That word testimony there is not to share your testimony. The word testimony is still the word of God, because the word of God is the testimony of God. Hello? So he said, give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. Now, when you go forward again, the same Psalm 119 and verse 144, the Bible says, the righteousness of thy testimonies. You see now that the testimony there is the word of God, not sharing testimony. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. So understanding helps you to become outstanding. Understanding helps you to be able to live. Understanding helps you to be able to operate the way you are supposed to operate. One of the very, very amazing portion of scripture is in Acts of the Apostles chapter 8. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 8, from verse 26 all the way to verse 32, we see the story of a man that is called the Ethiopian eunuch. When the Bible describes this man, the Ethiopian eunuch. The Bible describes him as a very great man of great authority. So this man was a man that had political power and he had political authority, because the Bible says he was close to the queen because he was one of the cabinet members. The Bible then went on to explain to us that he was actually the central bank governor of his country because he was in charge of the treasury. So now we are seeing a man that was a man of great political power and authority. We are seeing a man that was a man of great financial acumen. Now the Bible also says that he was a worshiper. He was going to Jerusalem to worship. So we are seeing a man that is not just a political figure. He was also a man of financial intelligence. And the Bible also says he is a worshiper. So he's also a man that believes in God and goes to the temple to worship God. And the final thing is that the Bible says that he was reading the Bible. So he was also a Bible student. So you can find out now that you can be a great man in the marketplace. You can be a great man in the realm of politics. You can even be a very, very good Christian and you are a Bible student. But when you lack understanding, you will still not make it. So this man was a great political figure, great financial man, great worshiper, great Bible student. But God spoke to Philip and said, I want you to join yourself to that man. That man is a great man. That man has a good position in the marketplace. That man is a worshiper. He loves me. That man is a Bible student. He's desiring to know me, but he lacks understanding. So the man went and Philip came to him and asked a simple question. And the question that Philip asked, we see it in verse 30 of Acts of the Apostles chapter 8. And Philip ran either to him and heard him read Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man guide me? And he desired Philip that he will come up and sit with him. He said, listen, sir, I would love God. I am reading the Bible. I'm a Christian. But you see, how can I understand except somebody guides me? I need somebody to teach me. I need the Holy Spirit to guide me. If somebody teaches me and guides me, once I get understanding, I know that there are realms I am supposed to be operating in. But until I have understanding, I cannot operate in them. So when it comes to the covenant of first fruit, there are some very, very important understandings that we need to have as God's children that will help position us in the place of obedience. So we're going to go on a journey together. In this first service, I'll do part one. In the second service, I'll do part two. I want to try to answer some basic questions and just go back to the elementary and take it from one step to the other and answer some basic questions. Question one, what is the first fruit? We're going to try to find out what exactly do we mean by first fruit. And number two, is the first fruit the same thing as the tithe? When you say first fruit and you say tithe, are we talking about the same thing? Or are they different one from another? Number three, why should I bring the first fruit? Is the first fruit not just the manipulation of some churches and some pastors to get money off me? You know, these pastors are very funny. They will come up with scriptures just to collect your money. So why should I bring my first fruit? And number four, yes, okay, I believe in first fruit, but do I have to do it every year? Because all this yearly thing, is it not a strategy for yearly income for all these pastors? Must I bring first fruit every year? Why must it be every year? We're going to find out from scriptures. Number five, are there examples in scriptures of people that brought first fruits to the Lord or of first fruits being revealed in the word of God? Number six, who receives the first fruit? When I bring the first fruit, who is the person that receives it? How is it utilized? And then number seven, what happens if I don't obey and bring the first fruit? If I don't bring the first fruit, is there any crime? What's going to happen? So we're going to try to answer all these questions in the next two services. So question one, What is the first fruit? The first fruit is a biblical covenant obligation of honoring God with the first of all. The first fruit is a biblical covenant obligation of honoring God with the first of all. The first fruit is not only related to your finances. The first fruit is related to the first of all. When you wake up in the morning, God gave you 24 hours. The first thing you do every time you wake up is to give God the first fruit. So the first thing you do in a day is first fruit. So when you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing that you do? Do you wake up and pick up your phone to check messages or go on social media? Do you wake up early in the morning and just go into the bathroom and begin to have your bath? Do you wake up early in the morning and the first thing you do is thank you, Jesus? I just thank you for a brand new day. And then you begin to worship him and begin to thank him and begin to honor him. And then you go into prayer and you go into the word. If you wake up every day and the first thing you do is not to give him thanks and worship him, you are not giving first fruit. So first fruit begins with the day. It's not only about your money. The first thing you do in the day is first fruit. The first thing you do every week, the first thing you do every month. So when you enter into a new month, the first day of the month is first fruit. When you enter into a new year, the first week, the first month of that year is first fruit. So it's not only about your money, it's also about your time. It's also about your talent. It's also about all the different aspects of your life. So it's not just about money. You need to understand that the first hour of the day, the first day of the month, the first month of the year, the first month of the year, your first child, that's the one that opens your womb. That's first fruit. Your first car, your first house, your first open door, your first door, everything that is first qualifies under the first fruit. Every time you enter into a new level, you enter into a new dimension. For instance, now I have given 3 first fruit this year already. You say, how can you give 3 first fruit? Because there are 3 levels that I have had to explore this year. For instance, every year when we come into the year, I bring my first fruit to my priest and my prophet. My wife and I went to see our prophet, and we release our first fruit into the hand of our prophet. But guess what? The first place I went to preach this year, the first place I went to preach, I collected the offering that they gave to me, and I also released it as a first fruit. Why? That's the first preaching engagement for the year. It's the first. And I gave it as a first fruit. Guess what? When I came in last week, I went to Takoradi. I've never been to Takoradi before. Guess what? The offering they gave me, it has been packaged to be released as a first fruit. Why am I giving that? Because that's my first time in Takoradi. So I need to redeem Takoradi. Do you understand that now? Many of you think it's about understanding. I understand that, okay, I've never been to Takoradi before. So this is the first offering I'm receiving in Takoradi. I could have rationalized and say, I've been going to Ghana since 1992 now. Should be Takoradi is part of Ghana. That's how we mess up. Listen and listen well. When I sowed the seed by saying that, okay, Takoradi, open up. Guess what? Between last week and now, I have gotten 2 invitations from Takoradi. 2 invitations. Not from the church that invited me. From 2 other people that said, we heard you came. How did they hear? Because the seed is already speaking. So every time you go into a place for the first time, I can tell you with all humility, there is no church on earth, and I repeat, no church on earth that I have ever been to that did not invite me back. Not one. Not one. Not one. Why? Because every time I go to a church for the first time, the first offering they give me, either I don't collect or I collect and I release it as first fruit. Why? I'm saying, Lord, as they have brought me here, I thank you because you are the one that opened this door. I'm releasing this first fruit in honor of you. Let the doors continue to open. And things begin to happen. Things begin to happen. Listen, if I open my diary to you, I'm not the most anointed man of God. I'm not the most powerful. I'm not the most popular. But if I open my diary to you, you will be shocked
that even to get a day, you'll be sure. The invitations are everywhere. Why? Because the seed is working. So it's not just about trying to get something off you. It's about you getting clear understanding of why you should do what you need to do. Someone shout first fruit. So it's the first. So every first, you honor God with it. Every first, you honor God with it. When you look into the Bible, you find that the word first fruit is mentioned 32 times in the Bible along with the tithe. So first fruit is mentioned 32 times. Tithe is mentioned 32 times. And you'll be amazed that they are not always mentioned in the same context, but they come to the same 32. So let's look at a few scriptures and gain some understanding. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruit of all your increase. So listen. Honor the Lord with your substance. So that's one. And is a conjunction. So honor the Lord with your substance. So honoring God with your substance is one. But it now says, and with the first fruit. So the first fruit is different from the substance that was being mentioned of all your increase. What happens when you do that? So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and the presses shall burst out with new wine. For the purpose of clarity, let's look at the same portion of scripture from the Message translation. From the Message translation. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 from the Message translation. The Bible says, honor God with everything you own. So you see the substance. Now, the substance means honor God with everything you own. Then it says, give him the first and the best. Give him the first and the best. So when you understand this situation, you will realize that everything you have belongs to God. God is your source. Like we saw, everything you have belongs to God. But he's saying, I wanted to bring the first and the best as an honor to me. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 11 and verse number 16 and see the very first place where the issue of first fruit was mentioned in the New Testament. Now Romans chapter 11 and verse number 16, the Bible says, for if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the roots be holy, so are the branches. So he's saying, when you bring the first and honor God with the first fruit becomes a representation of every other fruit that will flow from that source. So when you bring the first to honor God, you make sure that every other one is insured and secured. Let's look at it again from the Message translation, just to now bring in some more clarity as regards to this issue of first fruit. Romans chapter 11 and verse number 16. Okay, let's do Amplified. Let's do Amplified because of time. Let's do Amplified. Romans 11 and verse number 16 from the Amplified Bible. The Bible says, now, if the first handful of dough offered as first fruit. So that means the first that comes, the first harvest, the first salary, the first income, the first return, the first that come. He said, when you bring it as first fruit, now it's now helping us to understand the historical context here. He says, Abraham and the patriarchs. So Abraham and the patriarchs were the first fruit of Israel to come in contact with God in a covenant relationship, even in the Old Testament. And it says, if the first fruit is consecrated, that is, holy, so is the whole mass. What's the whole mass now? The whole nation of Israel. So if the first, Abraham and the patriarch, is released unto God, they become an instrument to redeem and bring all the whole nation into that bond. So when you come before God and your first income in the year, you present it before God as an act of thanksgiving and worship. What happens is you are saying, Lord, take over the year and take control of the year. And then God goes ahead of you and ensures that everything about the year operates the way it's supposed to operate. When you go into the Old Testament,
Testament and examine the first place where the first fruit was mentioned in the Bible, then you see the story of two brothers by the name of Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4 from verse 1 all the way to verse 6. Genesis 4, 1 to 6, we see the story of Cain and Abel, and the Bible talks about these two people, and when it was time for them to bring an offering, the Bible says, because of time we can't read everything, that Cain brought to God of the fruit of the ground, but Abel brought to God of the firstling. He brought the first fruit. He brought the first of his cattle. He brought the first of his trade, and he brought it to God. So if you look at verse 4, verse 4 says, and Abel, he also of the what? Of the firstling of his flock. Of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. When you look at that verse 4 in the Message translation, verse 4 says, Abel also brought an offering. But, you see now, so he's saying that, look, he brought an offering like Cain, but, this is the key, but, from the firstborn animal of his choice cut of meat. So now, when you see, in understanding the scripture, you realize that every time the Bible gives us a story, it only reveals to us in the story what is vital to the revelation, what is vital to the message. So when God introduced these guys to us, God did not tell us their age. God did not tell us their complexion. When you go to other parts of scripture, there are people that God introduced to us. He told us their age. He told us their complexion. He told us about their hair. He told us about their stature. Why? Because that was relevant to the revelation and the message. But when it came to Cain and Abel, when God introduced them to us, he introduced us to their trade. He introduced us to their trade because their trade was relevant to the revelation. What was he saying? He says Cain was a tiller of the ground. So number one, the ground was already cursed, but Cain chose to trade in accostings. Cain chose to go into a career and go into a business and go into an area where he was trying to produce in a place that God has cursed. And then the Bible says that Abel was a cattle rearer. Why? Because God was trying to tell us that his trade was related to blood, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. He was trying to tell us that in that trade, there is a revelation. And when it was time for them to honor God, please listen, people of God, they were not in any church. So Cain and Abel were not going to a church. Cain and Abel did not have a pastor. So question, where did they learn it from? If they didn't go to church and they didn't have a pastor, where did they learn it from? It's because they learned it directly from God. God gave their parents the understanding based on what had happened in the garden, and their parents spent time to teach them. So it was an understanding that they have as a result of their personal relationship with God. When people lack understanding, then they are limited to the interpretation of scriptures by pastor. When people lack understanding, then they are limited to the interpretation of scripture by their denomination. But when you have understanding, like the Berean Christians, the Bible says the Berean Christians were more honorable than others, in the sense that every time they go to church and they hear the word of God, they are not moved by the paraphernalia and the razzmatazz of ministry. No. After the man of God has said everything, the Bible says they will take note and they will go back home to check the scripture for themselves to find out whether what the man of God has said is true or not. What do we have today? We have believers today that are lazy in their walk with God, that are very shallow in their understanding, and they have become pawns in the hand of manipulative preachers, and then they find themselves being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. If you are a man, you are a man. If you are confused about being a man, something is wrong with you mentally. Now, the reason why a man knows he's a man and is not confused is because he knows he's a man by himself, not because somebody told him is a
a man. When someone tells you you are a man and you don't know you are a man, you will be confused. So you need to understand that when it comes to the issue of the church, yes, we believe in the men of God. Yes, they are sent to teach us. But God does not have grandchildren. And you are not fighting with God. And you have the Bible just like the pastor. So you've got to sit down with the word and study the word for yourself so that you will have conviction. And every time the pastor comes to speak, it will be resonating with you, because deeper will begin to call to deeper and iron will begin to sharpen iron. So we see how that God honored the first fruit that Abel brought, but rejected the one that Cain brought. Why? Because he did not bring the first, and he not bring from the right source. And when he went to God, said, God, why did you do this? Hey, Cain, you know what you are doing. You know what you are doing, Cain. If you did what is right, you will have gotten the blessing. You know what you are doing. So don't come here trying to deceive me, to make me think that you don't know. I am God. You know what you are doing. And he says, Cain, if you turn around and do the right thing, you'll be blessed. But if you continue in this path, I see destruction ahead. And that's why a lot of us need to have clear understanding. In Exodus chapter 13, we're laying the foundation of this, and we stop wherever we stop. Continue second service. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. Now, don't forget Exodus 13. You remember the children of Israel have now come out of Egypt, and they have been freed by the mighty hand of God. And then God begins to give them instruction for the next chapter. And Exodus chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, sanctify. The word sanctify means to set apart. Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. So God is saying, now that I have set you free, I'm establishing this covenant of first fruit as a covenant you need to operate now that you are redeemed. So now that you have been redeemed from Egypt, every force that comes is my own. Set it apart unto me. Let's look at it from the Message translation. God spoke to Moses, saying, consecrate every firstborn to me. The first one to come from the womb among the Israelites, whether of person or animal, is mine. Now, don't forget, this is an agrarian society. These guys were not working in the bank. They were not working in the IT company. They were not working in oil company. They were not working in a factory. Their major occupation was farming and cattle rearing. So this was their profession. What is God saying? The force that comes from your income, your business, your investment, every force belongs to me. Let's move on to verse 11 and 12 of the same Exodus 13. 11 and 12. God says, and it shall be when the Lord bring you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it to you when I bring you into the land, verse 12, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that opens the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the male shall be the Lord. So what is he saying? When I bring you into a new country, a new land, a new level, a new dimension, you are on one level, I promote you, you enter a new dimension, the first in that new dimension is mine. Look at the Message translation of the same portion, 11 and 12. When God brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he promised you, so that means he promised you and he brought you in. Every time you enter into a manifestation of a promise of God, or you enter into a manifestation of answered prayer, the force that comes from that level is first fruit. It belongs to God. And he says, as he promised you and your fathers, and turn it over to you, you are to set aside the first birth out of every womb to God. Every first birth from your livestock belongs to God. So every first from your business, every first from your career, every first from your investment, it belongs to God. Now, let's wrap up the first question in Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Genesis 2, 15 and 16, and let's do Message translation. Genesis 2, 15 and 16, and let's do Message translation. God took the man and set him down in the garden of Eden to walk the ground and keep it in order. Verse 16. God commanded the man, you can eat from any tree in the garden except from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from it. The moment you eat from that tree, you're dead. Now, question. In that same garden, there was a tree of life. And he did not tell them not to eat the tree of life. He told them, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When they were to be tempted, they were not tempted to eat the tree of life. What were they tempted to eat? They were tempted to eat the one that God told them not to eat. Haven't you always wondered that every time God places a demand on people, the exact thing that God places a demand on becomes the point of contention? You spend a whole day without eating. The very minute we declare fasting, 8 a.m., you are hungry. Is food your problem? No. It's because God has placed a demand on it. You spend money on many things. You can go to the salon and fix your eyelashes and fix your nails. And you can go to the restaurant and fix yourself a meal with your family and do 1,000 Ghana. And everybody's excited, taking ice cream and taking zobo and just enjoy. Nobody's complaining. But the very minute God says, bring a tithe, it becomes a problem. So the 1,000 Ghana cedis is small in your mechanic, small when you are in the restaurant, small when you are in the hairdressing salon, but when it enters an envelope as a tithe, it becomes a point of contention. Why? Because everything that God asks of you, the enemy fights from you. So it's very, very important for you to understand that the reason why many of us are struggling in the place of obedience is because we lack understanding. Somebody shout, I understand. Akaya say, shout, I understand. So that's question number one answered. Question two. And we'll probably do question two and three and continue in the second service. Is the first fruit the same as the tithe? Is the first fruit the same as the tithe? Is the first fruit the same as the tithe? No. The first fruit is not the same as the tithe because the tithe is marked as 10%. Of all your income. So for every income that comes into your life, the first 10% belongs to God, and that is called the tithe. Why? The entire 100% belongs to God, but God says, if you acknowledge me as your source, and you acknowledge me as the one that brought the resources, what you need to do is every time you get an income, take the first 10 and bring it in acknowledgement of the fact that I am your source, and bring it as an act of worship so that I can redeem the remaining. And when you look into the Bible, the very first place where the word tithe was mentioned is in Genesis chapter 14, where Abraham gave tithe. In Genesis 14, Abraham had a situation where he had been invaded by the enemy, and he needed to go forth and redeem what has been taken away. And the Bible says he took all the servants, over 300 of them that were raised in his house, and he went on this battle. And the Bible says he went and he came back as a conqueror. But the Bible revealed to us that when he came back, in verse 20, he met with Melchizedek. Verse 20, the Bible says, and blessed be the Most High God, which had delivered thine enemies into thine hands, and he gave him tithe of all. That's the first place where we see the tithe. Tithe of what? Tithe of all. Here, it's talking about corporate tithing. Not just the income of Abraham, the labor of the entire corporation. Abraham and all his household that went for the battle, everything he tithed it. He tithed it. So many times we don't understand these principles and then we get into trouble. Many years ago, let me talk about corporate tithing and corporate first fruit. Many years ago, as God began to teach me more about the place of first fruit and moving deeper in the place of obedience, then one day, God said, you pay tithe as a church. I said, yes, sir. He said, but do you do first fruit as a church? I said, yes, now, you know, every January we just package something, we give our father. He said, but is that your first fruit? I said, Then he says, is that book? But you know, when God asks you a question, it's not because he's ignorant. He's trying to open you up to another dimension. And then I started thinking, and I'm like, okay, we do crossover. We start by 10, and then we enter the new year. And then, when we collect offering, by the time we are collecting that crossover offering, we're already in the new year. And then it dropped. It's not in the Bible. God spoke to me by myself. So many times it's because we don't hear God when it comes to the place of obedience. And God spoke to me and he said, from now, every income in the church globally in the crossover should be given as first fruit. I'm telling you now, we started that 9 years ago. So every time you are growing, 9 years ago, so I sent a memo to branches worldwide. And I say every money that comes in during crossover is no more our own. Everything we are sowing it is first fruit. And of course, you know the common sense we start. Pastor started calling, excuse me, sir. And we saw the memo, Papa. So are you saying the offering? Or you know, some people have made pledges, then they will pay. And you know, some people, they bring their tithes during crossover. I say, everything. You are a pastor. Why are you using brain to calculate God? Are you the one that will tell God what? I say, everything. And we have been doing that now for 9 years. Look, I can't tell you the dimensions we have been in the last 9 years. I'm telling you everything. Look, it's not easy, oh. It's not easy, oh. Crossover, you have crowd. You have money. Everything for the past 9 years. Once we do crossover, everything from all over the world, though, American brands, everywhere, they put it straight to one account. And we release it to the fathers. And we release it to the body. So listen and listen well. God is a faithful God. When you are faithful to him, he will be faithful to you. So the first fruits and the tithe are not the same thing. They are not. The tithe is the first 10%. And Abraham didn't have a pastor. Abraham did not go to church to hear a message. God spoke to him. He says, I'm the one that gave you this result. So bring the tithe. But the first fruit is different from the tithe. Let's see that in Nehemiah chapter 12, just because of time. Nehemiah 12 and verse number 44. Nehemiah chapter 12 and verse number 44. And at that time were some appointed over the chambers of the treasures for the offering. So now we are talking about appointing people to take care of finance. He says some people were appointed for what? For the offering, comma, for the first fruit, comma, and for the tithe. Can you see now? The offering, then the first fruit, then the tithe, to gather them out of the fields of the city, all branches, out of the fields of the city, the portion of the law for the priest and Levites. For Judah rejoiced for the priest and for the Levites that with us. So you find out that God here is showing us that, look, offering is different. Tithe is different. First fruit is different. If you were not around, go get the tape. I did a series on Thursday and Friday, and we looked at a lot of things, because what offering we do, tithe will not do. What first fruit we do, offering will not do. Each of this seed, each of this covenant obligation add a blessing attached. So the tithe is different from the first fruit. The tithe is 10%, but the first fruit is all. So all that comes, the first of all, you bring it before the Lord. And then people are always confused. Are you saying I should give the whole of my January salary? Are you saying, we see all these things are semantics. They are semantics. Some people say, hey, since it's the first, I will just, you know, since we have 31 days in January, I will break my salary to 31. And then I will give the first day of that month. Some people say, since we have 4 weeks, some people now say, January is not 4 weeks, so it's 5 weeks. I will break it into five, and I will bring the first week so that I can have something else to survive. And like I told you, within the week, there are many of us that have been out of job for 6 months to a year, and we didn't go naked. We didn't become homeless. God took care of us. But the same people that God has sustained without a job for 1 year, when they finally get a job and God said, bring the first, they say, how do you want me to survive? How were you surviving when you did not have a job? It's just the flesh trying to mess up your journey with God. But you see, in this kingdom, kingdom wealth is entrusted. Kingdom wealth is entrusted. God must trust you before he can entrust wealth into your hand. And as long as you are doing this kindergarten outer court Christianity, you are saying to God, I'm not ready for the next level of blessing. Let us close with number three. Why should I give and observe the first fruit? Why should I do it? Why? Let's close with that. Why? So in Exodus chapter 13, immediately the children of God were brought out of bondage and out of captivity. God spoke to Moses. He said, everything that comes out of this new level, it's mine. Sanctify it unto me. And verse 11 and 12, like we saw, he said, all the force in this new land that I've brought to you, they are mine. Then he answers in verse 14. He says, and it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is this? Because your children will ask you, Daddy, why are we not being able to do this? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? He said, your children will ask you, how come we are carrying all this thing to church? I need school bag. You say you don't have money. I need this. We need this. We need that. How come you are carrying all this thing to church? Look at what the Bible says. And if it shall be, when thy son asketh in time to come, saying, what is this? That thou shalt say unto him, by the strength of hand, the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it shall come to pass, and it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore, I sacrifice. So, first fruit is a sacrifice. I sacrifice to the Lord all, not some, all that opened the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. So he said, when your children come, tell them, my son, when we were in Egypt, when we were in bondage, the devil wanted to finish us. But God had mercy. He redeemed us. He brought us in. And because he brought us in, we are honoring him with the first fruit. He said, why? He said, you know what? Pharaoh did not want to let us go. So God had to kill all the firstborn of everybody there in order to redeem us. So now, because he killed firstborn, every first, we carry it as a sacrifice to say, Lord, we thank you for redemption. We thank you for deliverance. We thank you for crossing us over. We thank you for bringing us into a new year. And we are sacrificing this to say, we love you, Lord. That's why you do the first fruits. It's a sacrifice of love. It's a sacrifice of devotion. It's an obligation of a covenant child of God to say, God, I appreciate you. Let's look at it again. I'm closing now with Message translation, because I love this translation. It helps people to see, because some people will be telling you it's King James. I didn't understand. Understand clear English in Message. He said, when the time comes and your son asks you, what does this mean? Why are you doing this? You shall tell them, God brought us out of Egypt, out of a house of slavery, with a powerful hand. When Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, God killed every firstborn in Egypt, the firstborn of both human and animal. That's why I make a sacrifice for every first male birth from the womb to God and redeem every firstborn. So it's a sacrifice. Somebody shout, it's a sacrifice. Somebody shall is a sacrifice. Why do I bring the first fruit? Numbers chapter 8 and verse number 17. Numbers 8:17. Why do I bring the first fruit? Numbers 8:17. For all the firstborn of the children of Israel are mine, both man and beast. On the day I smote every firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified them to myself. The Message translation says, every firstborn male in Israel, animal or human, is set apart for my use. When I struck down all the firstborn of Egypt, I consecrated them for my holy uses. So why do I bring the first fruit? Because it belongs to God. Because it belongs to God. Because God asks of it. And when I bring it to God, I'm saying, Lord, I obey you. Lord, I honor you. Lord, I will do your will. Let's close with Ezekiel 48 and verse number 14. We'll continue in the second service with part 2 as we answer question 4, 5, 6, and 7. Ezekiel chapter 48 and verse number 14. And they shall not sell of it, Karabondayada, or exchange it. They shall not convey or transfer this, the first fruit of the land, for it has been offered to the Lord, and it is holy to him. So the first fruit does what? It belongs to God. Don't exchange it. Don't sell it. Don't manipulate it. Don't get involved in the process, because it belongs to God. I hope with this few points of mine, I've been able to give you some level of clarity and understanding that there's a covenant called the covenant of first fruit. And when you decide to align with God as a child of God and walk in obedience, my God, this year will be a year of manifestation of wealth like never before. Every head bowed in the name of Jesus. Every head bowed in the name of Jesus. I would like you to please give thanks.